Well, as if he was summoned via Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. We said Nate Rohr, and he appears. And that's how we go ahead and... There's the one that I want. Nate Rohr, voice of Husker Softball and KLIN Sports Director. Nate, it was a started out like a really, really hot weekend, 3-0, and then a couple of tough games down the stretch. What was it like for you down in Florida?
Well, you know, if you would have told me a week ago Nebraska was going to go 3-2 in its first weekend of the year, being a Northern team that hadn't been out on the dirt yet, playing three ranked opponents, possibly facing two first team All-American pitchers, I would have been pretty happy with that. But the Tennessee win on Thursday, I think, made us all a little greedy. So you're still happy with 3-2. I think that's still a successful weekend, you know, even just beyond you won more than you lost. But you do feel like you left some meat on the bone, especially the Saturday game where Nebraska had a 5-0 lead on Texas Tech in the bottom of the sixth inning, only to squander it mainly due to defensive errors. And then Jordy Ball made one bad pitch to Nigeri Kennedy, and she hit it over the fence. But credit to Tech for taking advantage of their one big opportunity and then building up one more good one and cashing it in on a Husker error in the seventh. So maybe you're happy, but I don't know that you're satisfied with what you got last weekend. And that's okay. I mean, it's the first weekend of the year. You certainly want to be great every time out, but happy but not satisfied, I think, is where I am after last weekend.
Yeah, Nate, I think the big storyline that everybody was anticipating going in is what would Jordy look like? Obviously impacting at the plate and in the circle, but we forget the last time we saw her at least stringing consecutive starts in the circle together was in a different uniform, and that feels like it was forever ago. So when you look at where she is coming off the ACL, but where you would anticipate her to be as she continues to get more competitive innings under her belt, where do you see that ceiling with Jordy right now?
Well, I think she's most of the way back. The one concern you have, and maybe it came forward down the stretch of that Texas Tech game, is in stamina. Mm-hmm. And she, in the sixth and seventh inning, wasn't quite as sharp and was getting hit a little harder. And that's to take nothing from Texas Tech, which has pretty good lineup, pretty good hitters. But, you know, there was also a little element that maybe Jordy wasn't quite where she had been in the earlier part of the game. So I think that's the part that can sharpen up with her. And we even saw that in the fall where Jordy would dominate the first three innings, four innings, whatever, that she was out there. And then she would start to maybe not struggle, but definitely not dominate either, the fifth inning, the sixth inning, what have you. So I think rebuilding her stamina is kind of the place where growth can still happen. Mm-hmm. And I suspect that's just going to happen as the year goes on, because for a game and a half, she looked the part of an All-American pitcher. I mean, she was hitting her spots, good velocity. The changeup was working. So for a game and a half, she was really, really, really good. And even, I think, pitched well enough those last couple innings to hold on against Tech, but the defense kind of went sideways on her. And we see that happen sometimes when a Northern team gets out on dirt for the first time.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's so much of the conversation this season is going to revolve around Jordy Ball. And you think back to the season tickets that were sold when she announced her transfer and the additional seating that has been added since then. Like, that is, there's no way to go away from what Jordy Ball means to the enthusiasm around this program. But obviously, this team has to have some other pieces play well for there to be success over the course of this year. And you had Ava do that over the weekend, starting all five games, hitting .467, and as of right now, leads the team in runs, hits, RBIs, slugging percentage, home runs. They like that is a nice piece to have there with what you brought in with Ava Kuschak.
Yeah, Ava is one of the few known quantities on this team, at least in terms of the hitters, in that you know she's going to lead off and you know she's going to play shortstop. When we talked with Rhonda Revelle in preseason, she talked about having numerous options at basically every other spot in the lineup and in the defensive lineup other than pitching. And so it's good to have that mainstay at the top of the order. And I think Ava's bat is going to play pretty much all season long. She did it last year for Wisconsin. I suspect she'll be able to do it just as well for Nebraska. She's going to have Jordy Ball hitting behind her, and Jordy has shown that she can hit at this level pretty proficiently. So you feel like she's always going to be well protected in the lineup. She'll see pitches to hit, and she can do something with them. And so I think Ava's going to be a mainstay at the top of the order and do some really nice work for Nebraska. And especially when you set up the batting order, I think she's going to be a real cornerstone for the rest of it. But, you know, it's going to be a mission the next month before Big Ten to set the rest of this batting order, because there are so many options and there are lots of good options. But I think as the year goes on and before we get too deep into the year, I think Rhonda wants to define some of those other rules a little more clearly.
And with that, Nate, how much of that is going to be impacted by what you're seeing on the dirt itself defensively? Because, and I'll ask you this question as well. You mentioned it's one of their first experiences of being outside and actually handling the softball through the elements that they're going to be faced with going forward, but some defensive miscues here and there. How much of what Rhonda is going to put together in that lineup is going to be once they feel like they've solidified that entire defensive unit?
You know, I think the values are going to compete there a little bit, because I think it's tough to put together your best offensive lineup that's really good defensively too. And
right.
And kind of a unique challenge that Coach Revelle has with this year's team is that I feel like there are a lot of people who are either one or the other. They're either really good defensively and the bat hasn't quite got there yet, or the bat's there and they're going to hit, but maybe they're not fielding at the best place. And what's more, even more challenging, I think, is that you look at who is strong and who are your great hitters, but they also play premium defensive positions. Hey, you know, Ava Cusack had kind of a rough weekend defensively. Mm-hmm. And while there's a chunk of that I think you very easily can ride off to first weekend jitters, just looking back at her track record, she has been fine defensively, but she's not been notable defensively. And yet shortstop's a position where you want elite defense. You know, third base is the same thing, where Samantha Bland's a really good hitter. And I, you know, she, I think, can grow back into third base. I think her growth curve's going to look a little different just because she played outfield last year. Mm-hmm. Bland played played the infield all the way coming up, but she's got to get settled back in there. And then you look at a position like first base with Bella Bacon, and she's decent defensively and she's decent with the bat, but you know, just like baseball, you expect first base to be an offensive first position. And right now that's not the case. Left field's another, you know, Abby Squire's a decent to good defensive outfielder. And yet because she missed the whole year last year, I think it's going to take a while for her bat to get back up to speed, and left field somewhere where you want somebody that hits. So there are just lots of things that Rhonda will need to settle with this lineup in the next few weeks. And that's not to say that the options aren't there on the roster right now, but that just is to say that maybe the combination hasn't really revealed itself mm-hmm. yet.
One more on the positions, because we know for the battery in the circle, it's Jordy Ball number one.
Yeah.
But what about the other end of that with catcher? Because there's been a little rotation there.
I think that will persist. That's certainly in their plan, partially dependent on who is pitching, because they feel pretty good about the combination of Ava Breadwell and Kylie McGee, and then Hannah Kamenzen and Ava Breadwell, and then Jordy Ball. Throughout the preseason, Jordy worked primarily with Olivia DiNardo. Mm. And so when DiNardo came up with a bit of an elbow injury this last week, that changed the catching equation because, you know, especially against a team like Tennessee, Texas Tech's another that runs a whole lot. You know, Ava Breadwell at close to 100% beats Olivia DiNardo at 80% or 70% or whatever it was.
Right.
So the short of it, to answer your question, Caleb, is we're going to see that position split. Now, the question is, what do you do with the one that isn't catching? Because I think it's a pretty safe bet that Olivia DiNardo is going to be in the batting order basically every game, one way or the other. Going to catch or going to serve as the designated player. But Ava Breadwell's an interesting case because she has hit. When we talked with the coaching staff in preseason, they said she had really taken to playing outfield. She'd played quite a bit of right field in preseason. She really hadn't done that in her career. But Ava's fairly athletic and has a good arm and could be pretty decent out there. And that's a way to keep her bat in the lineup without having her catch 50 games, which I think has been a real detriment to her. So I think that's going to be the tougher balance, is keeping both of them in the lineup while at the same time catching one and not catching the other every single game.
Real quickly, just because I know it was also a anticipated return, just because anytime there's a local product, they transfer back into Nebraska. But Casey Hoffman, just by some of your own calls that I caught, not only did she have an impact, but when she wasn't getting on base, maybe more the recipient of some bad luck.
Yeah, you know, I think her swing's coming around. She was able to get some hits and stack up some opportunities, and the Huskers feel really good about her power. She's coming back from an injury last year that knocked her out the whole year. Mm-hmm. So she's probably still finding her legs and still finding her way, but I think Nebraska expects her to be an impact bat throughout the line or throughout the season in the heart of the order, a power bat, left-hand hitter. She's going to factor into the equation, no question.
Last minute here, Nate, the voice of Husker softball. Nebraska still on the road, as they will be for some time, headed to Las Cruces, New Mexico. Texas A&M, Corpus Christi, New Mexico State, Montana twice, and Northern Colorado. All of that coming up this weekend. It's not quite the same as Florida, but still a lot of opportunity out in front of this team to stack wins.
Yeah, and hey, I think it's fair to say Nebraska's a fairly substantial favorite. I don't think Vegas has taken action on it, but NCAA, don't bet on it. But Nebraska, I think, figures as a significant favorite in those five games, and it's an opportunity to kind of settle some of these questions, whether it's the infield combination, whether it's the outfield combination, whether it's how you stack up the lineup. It's a chance to experiment a little more in a lower pressure environment and see what you have and see if you can build some continuity and confidence. And they're going to need to build some this week because the Mary Nutter tournament the following week is going to be a real challenge.
Nate, that is a good looking office you are coming to us from. Thanks so much for giving us a few minutes on Husker Max today.
Hey, thank you for handing off the office. I'll tell you that.
It's still decorated beautifully. Hey, have a good one, man.
See you, gentlemen.
See you, Nate.
There you go. That is Nate Rohr, voice of Nebraska softball and KLIN sports director. Nick, like he said, headed this weekend, and it's a little bit of what we've looked at with Nebraska men's basketball. Maybe not the ranked opportunities to go get signature wins, but it's a chance to stack them and get things right.
Yeah, and I think that goes to say, for even with baseball starting soon, you start to look at certain areas of the schedule where it's like, okay, what you don't get from an RPI standpoint – you start to find maybe a little bit of a winning combination, a winning formula, and especially in the ball bat sports where you're looking for that right ingredients when it comes to, like Nate said too, trying to match the offense with the defense, but finding the lineup that's going to get make the most sense, it's going to be most productive, figuring out that rotation. Those types of weekends can really serve that purpose so well. And the quicker you can feel like you've got, okay, this combination works against righties, this combination works against lefties, this is our best offensive squad, this is our more of our power, if we feel like we're going to, you know, having to chase some runs, we're going to need as many as we can, you start to get those ideas early. And if you can do that before you even get out of the month of February, that is a huge thing, especially for the softball team that obviously has a lot of options. It's just finding the right options and where to put them.